Reverend Brother Rick Sorossi comes to us from New Haven, Connecticut, and he would like to tell a story, I believe, a literal story. The title of his discourse is A Boy and His Uncle and the Ministry of Reconciliation. A Boy and His Uncle and the Ministry of Reconciliation. Brethren, the Lord gives to us Brother Rick Sorossi.
Brethren, today I want to tell you a story. And as I tell you this story, it's going to be very difficult to take notes. This is not a take notes type of a talk. So the lessons of this story are kind of consolidated onto a sheet that's sitting on the front of the stage. Afterwards, if you'd like the notes, you can take a sheet there. Story I'm going to tell you today, it's true. It's about a boy, actually a young man and his uncle. It's a story that I have been privileged to witness actually unfold. As the true experiences of this story became very intense, it occurred to me that the experiences of this story were a sober and dramatic reminder of the fall of mankind from God's grace and the climb back into grace that humanity must embark on. This truly is the story of our lives. It's your life, it's my life, the lives of those around us in this world. As I tell the story, I would ask you to focus on one thing. Please. Please allow this story to inspire you. This is like what Brother Todd was telling us this morning. Allow this story to inspire you to grasp the magnitude of the work to be done in the Messianic Kingdom by the Church and the Great Company. Because reconciliation, true reconciliation, will be a difficult road for so many of our broken world. Let me start with some basic background about the boy. The boy had always had a good relationship with his uncle. They would horse around and joke frequently as he grew up, but as is often the case with teenagers, they tend to retreat from such behavior into their own little worlds. Even through his rebelliousness, the boy held his uncle in very high regard. This respect developed especially after the boy experienced weeks of nighttime debilitating cluster headaches. His uncle would show up when called, even in the middle of the night, to read to him, to help him cope with the pain. His uncle had shared in his pain in that experience, and the boy would never forget that. And this brings us to our first reconciliation lesson. Brethren, never underestimate your value to the groaning world right here and right now. For as an ambassador of Christ, you have the ability to truly bring them comfort in their pain. Back to the story. As the boy continued to grow through his adolescent years, so also did his talents and challenges. This boy was always a kind and caring person, friendly and sensitive. He was truly gifted in music. He could make a saxophone come alive. And he was not only featured in his high school band, but played other places as well. As is often the case, when someone has extreme talent, it's frequently paired with extreme challenge. The boy always had a very strong will, and built upon that will, the boy got with some bad influences, and he became a very avid pot user. He developed some mental health issues, and that would later be diagnosed as bipolar disorder. These issues, coupled with his ability to manipulate and overwhelm his parents, created a toxic mixture of words and actions that would lead to utterly out-of-control behavior and destructive behavior. A quick word about the boy's parents. His mom and dad are truly wonderful human beings. They were very attentive as parents. They had always gone out of their way to try and do what they thought best for the boy. They were truly dedicated to contributing to his success in life. His dad always tried to be around and supported him in countless ways. Even during those dark nights of those cluster headaches, his dad would be up and was there to share his pain. His dad was always there. His parents' raising of the boy In his parents' raising of the boy, they found themselves slowly and quietly drawn into a role that they had never intended or desired. The role of beaten down and broken parents. It's like they woke up one day wondering, how did this happen? How did we get here? Reconciliation lesson. In spite of the best efforts of those who would do right, this present evil world is Satan's world, and as such, it repels humanity's striving for goodness and for righteousness. We must see this and respond here and now as lights in this world to show them that godliness does exist and should be striven for no matter what the obstacles are that are before us. Let's fast forward to the boy at almost 20 years old. He had now developed such a pervasive habit of drug use, mostly pot, that his life revolved around being high. He treated others with respect only when he got his own way. His drug habit was such that he could not hold a job for long, and his mental illness was now becoming pervasive. One major problem in dealing with that mental illness was that he had forbidden his parents permission to talk to the doctors. So they paid for him to go to the doctors. They were forced to try to help him and guide him in a blinded state. They, according to the law, could not know his condition, could not ask about it, or even participate in any of the process of treatment. This contributed to his never following up on anything regarding treatment, and now he had prescription drugs to use or abuse according to his whim or mood. And then it happened. He met some girl online, and they got involved. Even though she was only in high school, she, in a matter of weeks, became the center of his life and an obsession for his ever-racing mind. Only weeks after his 20th birthday, he announced to his extended family that she was the love of his life and that his new love was now pregnant. He would be leaving home to move in with her and her family in a city about 45 minutes away. His seemingly bold announcement was met with trepidation and sadness, as there was no real confidence in any part of this news by any family member. He was, after all, still a boy with little experience and even less maturity. Reconciliation lesson. The lives and choices of those who are captive under Satan's rule and influence are flawed and often lead to a more deeply flawed life. As we see this drama of the sin-sick world unfold before us, we must be ever vigilant to stand in faith for the highest principles of godly righteousness, knowing that all of this will, by God's grace, soon end. This is where the boy's story both speeds up and begins to unravel, as events now unfold in a furious manner. There was this excitement of and prospect of a new life, a new family, and a new future, though there was no movement or even interest on his part to support it. His mind in a manic state raced through every day. This excitement led to an ever-increasing recklessness, both in his behavior and his treatment of his family. In a space of just 2 weeks, he totaled his own car, and then he totaled his parents' car, the latter accident being on the highway, and driving so fast that he lost control of the vehicle. His interactions with his parents and his sister became more and more harsh, and more about giving him money. As he met with resistance to his demands, his excited mind turned more and more dark, and this led to his next escalation of out-of-control behavior. The boy turned to social media. He went on Facebook and began to write despicable lies about his family, but he focused his lies on his dad. His dad, the guy who was always so desperately there, trying to support there and be there for him. There's no need to catalog the lies. Suffice it to say that they were dark enough and bad enough that his dad began to hear from people he hadn't heard from in 30 years, asking him if he was okay. If the boy could not get what he wanted when he wanted it, then he would destroy anyone who stood in his way. Reconciliation lesson. Sin and darkness easily and often spin out of control, and in so doing, leave a path of destruction in their wake. The sadness of this truth is the very reason we are called to such a high calling. The boy's uncle heard about and unfortunately read all of this. This was his own brother being lied about and defamed to the world, and he couldn't just stand by and let it go unchallenged. His uncle had always been successful in texting the boy to begin communication in the past, so he texted the boy a direct challenge to his behavior. In his text, he told the boy that the vitriol and the lies had to stop. He told the boy that he was destroying his entire extended family. He told the boy to call him so that he could help the boy make right what he had done. The boy's response was predictable but sad, as he just spewed more of his hatred and anger, this time towards his uncle. And over the next few days, his uncle just kept texting, not backing down, but trying to encourage a real conversation. As this was happening, the boy took things yet to another level. His demands for money brought him to his parents' home one evening to terrorize his mother and his sister. By the time his dad, who was in another part of the house, heard the frenzy, the boy had stolen money, had his mother in hysterical tears. The boy further caused some property damage, and his dad threw him out. Once he was gone, his parents called the police. His uncle didn't know any of this, and as he texted the boy that evening, the boy threatened his parents' lives to his uncle via text. His uncle called the boy's dad and told him at the exact time that the police were there at their home, and it caused the boy's parents to seek arrest and charges against their son. The next day, his uncle was finally able to arrange to see the boy, as he had to deliver him a driver's re-education course notice. So the boy arrived at his uncle's notice, when the boy arrived, his uncle noticed that he was off, not making sense as he spoke of his new life. His hair was dyed some unnatural color. His beard was shaven to look like a gang member's. And as he explained how he and his girlfriend got kicked out of her mother's house, he told his uncle of his power and his connections to those who were lords over the drug lords. He mocked his uncle, telling him to try and arrest him. Go ahead, see what happens. His uncle looked him in the eye and told him that he wasn't powerful at all. He was merely homeless. The boy rose up from the table, and he was angry. He began to walk away, and he stopped, and he turned, and his words and stance were those of intimidation and challenge, and he began to come back at his uncle. His uncle remained seated, looked him in the eye again, and said to him, "Don't even try to bully me like that. Don't go there, not after what we've been through together." The boy stopped, dead in his tracks, murmured a little apology, and left. Reconciliation lesson. Sin destroys people from the inside out, and we oftentimes see the consequences of this eating away of decent human character. We must, in these circumstances, hold fast to that which is godly and true. And though afraid, we must stand in and for the light of the gospel. It is most likely the only light that they will see. By evening, his uncle was told that the boy had been admitted to the psych ward of the local hospital. "At least he was safe," was the refrain from everyone. His uncle now took to trying to communicate with the boy's girlfriend, figuring that if there was any hope of any reconciliation, she would have to be a part of it. And after a week or two of the boy's hospitalization, he was agreeable to having his uncle visit. It was at this time that the boy and his girlfriend announced that they were married, with still no permission given to anyone to know about the treatment or to really be involved. His uncle would just visit the boy a few times weekly to encourage him towards following whatever the protocol was that the doctors and therapists suggested. At his last family meeting before his hospital discharge, the boy finally allowed his uncle to be involved as they talked of the follow-up treatment available to him where his girlfriend, his wife, lived. He seemed eager to start it. Further upon the boy's discharge, his uncle would take him directly to the police station so he could turn himself in. This all happened without incident, and the boy ended up spending the night in lockup. After his court appearance the following day, his uncle picked him up, drove him back to the girlfriend's house. And on the way, they went over all of the court-mandated things that he had to comply with, as well as the importance of following through with therapy. And as his uncle dropped him off and drove away, he knew that the boy would not follow up. He knew that trouble, darker trouble, was waiting for the boy. Reconciliation lesson. For true and complete reconciliation to be able to occur, we must realize that sin must be allowed to come to its fully mature, evil, and destructive state. God has said so. Once underway, the destructive power of sinful choices easily gains momentum. It took only about 2.5 weeks for the boy's life to go further adrift. The sporadic phone calls and texts between the boy and his uncle revealed his diminishing grip on his own life. He never did go to any follow-up therapy, and he made the feeblest of efforts to set up the court-mandated anger management therapy. In all, he was just letting circumstances guide him, standing for nothing, falling in line with whatever others in his dark world set before him. His uncle knew that he was the boy's only connection to any semblance of goodness. And he also knew that the boy's continuous decisions were making a journey back to that goodness a more and more bleak possibility. Then came the phone call from the boy's girlfriend that the boy had been thrown out of her parents' house, and his uncle was told that his being thrown out carried with it a potential of arrest. It was a pleading phone call, pleading to take him in, pleading, begging for mercy with assurances that the boy was sorry for all that he had done. A second call was arranged with the boy and his girlfriend as his uncle thought through the scenario and potential consequences. During that second call, his uncle exposed the lie of their marriage. They weren't married. His uncle was livid. They lied to get what they wanted, and now they're asking for rescue? No, not here, not now. His uncle agreed to drive down to the city, but not to take him in, not to rescue him. So he drove down and picked the boy up, and then they went to a pizza restaurant. As his uncle fed the boy, he also handed him his cell phone and a number to dial for the local homeless shelter. The boy would now be homeless, a direct result of his decisions and actions. Now, being near the end of October in New England, homelessness is a serious matter. His uncle brought with him a wool hat, some extra socks, and a lined sweatshirt to help him keep warm. After the boy made several phone calls from the pizza restaurant to locate and secure a bed at the shelter that he would go to, his uncle drove him over and dropped him off. And as his uncle drove away, he was plagued by a nagging doubt in his own heart. Too dramatic, too harsh, just take him in. But he kept on driving. Deep down, he knew that choices have consequences, and that until the boy was ready to actually receive help and be willing to change, he had to be allowed to reap what he had sown. Homelessness only lasted a few days, as he got thrown out of the shelter for participating in some altercation. His girlfriend's family took him in again, and his life continued downward. Contact with his uncle would remain sporadic, and at best there was absolutely no progress in therapy and or the mandatory classes. His life was now on a course of systematic self-destruction. The boy stayed just out of reach, and his uncle could only watch, wait, and pray. Reconciliation lesson. Watching the systematic self-destruction of the world is heartbreaking. And yet that's what we are called here and now to be a part of. We cannot fix the world, though we can be a light and be an example. Only the ending of this age will bring any hope of relief for each sinful soul who was a captive of sin and death. Over the next 5 or 6 weeks, there was no change. The boy drifted, and his uncle stayed in touch. The boy's parents took to periodically visiting with his uncle and his aunt, as they could only watch the destruction of their son's life from a long distance. And as the Christmas season began to approach, they wanted to reach out to their son to show him how much they loved him in spite of all he had done. So they, along with his uncle and aunt, devised a list of necessary relationship and behavior changes for the boy to follow to open the door of reconciliation. 4 days before Christmas, his uncle arranged to go see the boy, armed with a gift card for clothing from his parents and the list. His uncle took the boy to a nearby mall, and the visit actually went well. There was good communication, and the boy seemed open to considering the list. He seemed to be tiring of his life and actually seemed like he wanted to change. As their time together began to wrap up, the boy confided an extremely serious circumstance that he found himself party to, which had dire legal consequences. His uncle became serious and firm and told the boy that he unequivocally needed to get out of that circumstance immediately. The following day, the boy and his uncle spoke. The boy downplayed his dilemma, and he told his uncle that the police wouldn't find out about his circumstances because no one knew. His uncle's response was simple. He knew, and he would call the police himself. Now, the boy knew that this was no bluff, as his uncle always did what he said he would do. A few hours later, the boy called his uncle in tears. He was being thrown out, and he had no place to go. His uncle and aunt had already discussed this and decided that if it came to it, they would this time, for several reasons, take him in. First, the boy had shown a willingness to listen and try. Second, he needed psychological help. They would walk him to that help and walk him through that help. Third, this was an opportunity to help end that poisonous relationship with the girlfriend. Fourth, he was just a boy, a 20-year-old who simply did not know how to navigate life. And they would, as long as he was under their roof, teach him how to be responsible for himself. The boy knew that he had to comply with his uncle's rules, or he would be homeless. So his uncle went and picked him up. Reconciliation lesson. The world's reconciliation begins with their being raised from the dead. This raising does not change them, but it does set the stage to open up their ability to change. Being raised puts the maladies of their minds in check, resets the context in which they live to a positive one, and introduces them to life lessons in righteousness. Being raised from the dead is their beginning. That first night was a clear testimony to the difficulties of life. The boy was shrouded in darkness, tears, and depression as he sat on his aunt and uncle's living room couch. He was aimless, broken, and sad. His aunt showered him with a motherly kind of love, firm and oh yet so compassionate, and his uncle spoke to him with reassuring clarity as he promised the boy that he would never abandon him, that he would walk alongside him in his darkness and always be a helping hand. His uncle assured him that life could bring light and happiness and that they would look for it together. Even their dog jumped up on the boy's lap and licked the tears from his face. The boy's life now had that small potential for life. And now there were rules. He could not be in their home alone. He had to be up by 8 every morning. He had to do something productive with each day, and he had to contribute to the household chores. His productivity would come by way of volunteering at a soup kitchen or an animal shelter, and he tagged along to his uncle's office each day. These were difficult and necessary adjustments. His uncle pursued appropriate medical intervention for the boy, and they also began his mandatory anger management counseling. After the first few weeks passed, and routine began to present itself, there were several markers along the way that provided direction. First, the boy's communications with his girlfriend became strained as their separation revealed the hollow nature of the relationship. This phase of his life would slowly dissolve in heartbreak for the boy and relief for his uncle. This would be a good start, for you cannot build a new and formidable life upon a foundation full of flaws, weakness, and lies. The second marker, though, was the boy's continued darkness. His depressed state was overpowering. His aunt and uncle fought hard to keep the standards of responsibility they had set intact, as the boy cared little for little outside of how he felt and what he felt like he wanted and didn't want. This was a hard struggle, a stressful struggle. Reconciliation lesson. The world's reconciliation will begin for many with great struggle, as those raised will be of the same character as when they died. They will need to be guided into embracing their new and healthy environment with care, determination, and focus, as their lives will need to be rebuilt. The boy's uncle focused on ways to begin to chip away and break some of the cycles of darkness and depression surrounding the boy. They went to a job corps orientation to see if he could find some life direction. And though it did not prove to be a fit for him, the young lady who ran the session was wonderful and enthusiastic. So afterwards, his uncle spoke to him about her presentation and effort and the probability that no one ever thanked her after the fact. His uncle used this opportunity to teach the boy how to write a thank you note. With coaching, the boy wrote it and sent it off. This would prove to be a very small first step of growth. Days later, his uncle began talking to the boy in earnest about gratitude, a powerful and positive life skill that the boy simply did not understand. His uncle suggested that he write another thank you note to another uncle who had recently helped him out. The boy was resistant. His uncle was persistent. It took several hours, but the boy finally wrote a 3-line thank you. After reading it, his uncle complimented him on what he had done. And the boy smiled. He smiled. His uncle hadn't seen a smile, a sincere smile on the boy's face in forever. That evening, he was going to see his other uncle and would hand deliver the note. The note's delivery and response had a marked positive effect on the boy, as he was noticeably happier and more sociable. Gratitude became a powerful tool for change. In the following weeks, the gratitude actually became easier. His thank you notes went from taking hours to minutes, from 3 lines to several. He occasionally smiled and was more pleasant, and this provided some stress relief for his aunt and uncle. As encouraging as this was, the overriding darkness of the boy's mental illness would not lift. And the night came when the boy woke his uncle up sometime after 2 a.m. and told him of his dark thoughts to hurt himself. They talked until he was stable, and in the morning they went back to the psych ward of the hospital so he could again admit himself. This time, his uncle's immediate involvement would make sure that the story being told was the truth, that the details of his condition were clear. This time, hospitalization would be a stepping stone on the road to a better life and not merely a stopping place on the road to self-destruction. Reconciliation lesson. For many of the world, their reconciliation will need far more than the miracle of being made alive again. For the darkness of sin has a deep, tangled, and suffocating grip upon their hearts. These billions will need not only the church's strong guidance and the great company's powerful support. They will also need the supplemental help and support of the earthly governing of the ancient worthies, as well as the ever-present help of those who embrace the kingdom's righteousness right from the start. Reconciliation will truly be a worldwide community effort. Now in the hospital, over the next few weeks of treatment, his aunt and uncle were startled by the quiet calm of their normal lives. They did not realize how difficult and stressful the previous 4 weeks had been, and they also realized that they were not equipped to handle the boy long term. They both worked, and while the juggling required to manage the previous weeks was doable in short doses, it was above them for the long term. His uncle stayed in close contact with the boy's caseworker and doctor, feeding them everything he possibly could to drive them to the best possible opportunity to achieve success in treatment. Progress was slow, and it took weeks for the boy to be somewhat responsive, as he simply was depressed with his life. His uncle visited and continually spoke to him about how small steps were the key to any success. Small steps. His uncle now focused on finding a place for the boy to go upon discharge. And through the amazing efforts of the boy's caseworker, they were able to locate a program that he qualified for. There was a cost involved, which his parents were glad to pay, as this was the most promising development they had seen for their son in years. The program facility was an hour away. It was a small inconvenience for his uncle in comparison to the potential for true treatment and real rehabilitation. Upon hearing of these arrangements, the boy was not happy. He just wanted to go home. And he had to be told that there was no home for him to go to. Once again, his resistance was met with his uncle's resolve. Days later, he was transferred. And while the boy had decided to be miserable, his uncle had decided to work hard at communicating with his therapist concerning his history, his strengths, and weaknesses. And weeks later, the boy began calling his uncle every evening. He was unhappy, and he wanted someone familiar both to talk to and to complain to. His calls would be to vent his frustration and to challenge the restrictiveness of his circumstances. His uncle saw these calls as opportunities to slowly chip away the troubled exterior and to connect with the boy as he truly was. Reconciliation lesson. Reconciliation is a process. Inherent in that process are the clearly defined guidelines that require forward motion. Many will balk at being required to step up and step out and will resist with their stubborn habits. It will be the church, as the initiators of the reconciliation process, who will provide the needed resolve for progress to be made. His uncle would visit the boy weekly for a few hours. His theme for his visits was always the same: small steps. His uncle constantly spoke to him of the importance of taking small steps toward a specific end, and the boy would acknowledge their need and then argue some more. Periodically, the boy and his therapist would call his uncle during the workday because the boy was sure he could talk his uncle into caving in on certain issues. much to his dismay, his uncle responded with purpose and clarity, always reiterating that as small steps are taken, small victories can be won. One particular visit, his uncle brought the boy a short inspirational book about gratitude, thinking that the boy might respond based on his previous gratitude experiences. The boy seriously disliked reading, so weeks went by with no progress. His uncle then began to add a second theme to all of their communications. Now it would be small steps and read pages. Doesn't have to be a whole chapter, just a page or two. Small steps and read pages. Time and persistence have a way of gaining the upper hand. The boy would call his uncle every evening, and two things began to happen. First, the boy argued less and talked more. Second, he would read a page or two and then tell his uncle what he read about. With these small positive steps came small positive victories, and his uncle could see that they were turning an important corner. Small steps, read pages. They each repeated that little mantra during every single phone call. You know, it can get old when all you talk about are the challenges and issues of life. We all need to be able to just laugh a little and relax. Small steps and read pages. Now, during this time, the boy was required to attend group sessions. One of those sessions was a team-based trivia game. He seemed to like trivia, and he would see if his uncle knew any of the trivia answers. And this led to his looking up trivia questions for his uncle before every phone call. And this, in turn, led to an all-important third part for their mantra. It was a profound statement they would add to their mantra to represent their mutual fascination with fun and trivia. Profound statement they would add. Now the mantra would be, small steps, read pages, and chickens can't burp. That's right. It's a fact. Chickens can't burp. Adding this gave them both something to laugh at and laugh about. And laughing is always something to look forward to. Reconciliation lesson. How do you get reconciliation out of chickens can't burp? Watch. Reconciliation is not a straight line. The church will be tasked with helping the individuals of the sin-sick world find their way through what will seem like a labyrinth to them, but what will simply be small steps for them, guided by the church. Built upon those small steps will be the education of the world, so they may know the value of their history and of God's magnificent plan. Added upon these things will be the simple joys of life. They will learn to laugh, to love, and to see joy. And perhaps their mantra will be something like, small steps, know God's purposes, and experience joy. Subtly, over time, the boy was changing. Medication for his mental illness helped him keep even, and he was beginning to find some meaning in life. And this would lead to working on a great and dreaded challenge for him. He needed to reconcile with his family. In the time leading up to this, his parents had been receiving help on their own end to guide them through dealing with the past, help them make their own necessary changes for the present so they could prepare to manage the future. They were nervous and skeptical, but they were ready to try. And so the time came. At a prearranged time, his uncle sat with the boy and his therapist as he dialed the phone to reach out to his parents. It was a hard call to make. It was a tearful call to make. It was a good call to make. This small step was only able to happen as a result of the many small steps the boy had already taken. This small step now looked like a giant leap. And here's the reconciliation lesson. Reconciliation has many levels. The world must first be able to embark on the journey of reconciling themselves with reality before they can reconcile with anyone else. Read that again. They must begin to understand and accept their own flaws and destructive choices before they will be able to reconcile with those whom they hurt. This will happen under the watchful and wise gaze of the church, of those who had already walked the road before. The world will do this with the powerful support of those on earth who already dwell in righteousness. They will take this small step, and it will seem like a giant leap. Well, communicating by phone is one thing, but being face-to-face is another. The boy and his therapist prepared for this next step, and the boy's parents prepared themselves as well. His uncle had the extraordinary privilege of being there, of sitting in this family therapy and reunion and watching the growth that occurred in all three of them. The boy was forthright in his owning what he had done to them. And even when their response was, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay," he responded back with, "No, it's not okay, and I am really sorry." His mom expressed her feelings and thoughts on their past family tragedy and spoke of what she had learned. His dad spoke of how he felt, something that he never did. And as all of this unfolded, his uncle sat back and dared to show a small smile on his face. His heart was bursting with joy for the Lord, for it was the Lord's strength, his wisdom, and his overruling that brought them to this moment. And now the work of family reconciliation could begin. It was one matter to face one another with love and honesty, but another matter entirely to learn to work with each other in the real world. The ensuing weekly family sessions had their share of moments of tension, revelation, and frustration, all tempered with love and respect, as each family member sought to listen as well as to be heard. The boy did a lot of listening and showed a level of respect for others that he had never before displayed. His uncle was there for every one of those meetings. Sometimes he provided hard observations, sometimes he provided in-your-face challenges, and sometimes he provided comic relief. Oftentimes, he spoke of his love and respect for all of them. But most of the time, his uncle just sat and listened and supported as this family worked through the difficult and important issues of life. And a reconciliation lesson. The work of overseeing the reconciliation of the human race to itself cannot be taken lightly. The church's present trials are for the purpose of learning to identify with those who are broken and be able to touch their hearts and minds for the purpose of their growth. The church will watch and guide as the individual members of the broken human race come to grips with their brokenness and learn to heal and find harmony with one another. The rules for living had now become clear, written, and accepted. Though some were not accepted by the boy with the greatest of happiness, the boy and his family are all now prepared for him to graduate. One particular telling experience on this. The boy had received a small tax refund. It had come to his uncle's house, and once his uncle delivered the check to him, his uncle asked him to think about something. What if he repaid the money he had stolen as soon as he cashed his check? His uncle didn't even mention it ever again. A few days later, in their nightly phone call, the boy told his uncle that he wrote a note to his dad, wrapped the money in the note, and placed it on his dad's dresser in the exact place where he had taken the money. And not only that, the boy also got a pile of change when he cashed the check and refilled his dad's change jar, which he had also emptied on that fateful day so many months before. This was particularly touching for his uncle to see, for the boy had not only restored that which he had taken, he did it with heart, and he did it with dignity. The boy's actual graduation now finally came, and he transitioned to living home permanently. He picked up his therapy with a local counselor, and the family continued their family counseling sessions as well. While the boy and his uncle still talk every night on the phone, his uncle has become much more of an outside observer than an inside mover and guide. His uncle actually now looks forward to their evening phone calls, as they're always caring and productive and fun. small steps, read pages, and chickens can't burp. Reconciliation lesson. The results of reconciliation will come in stages as those being reconciled grow enough to be able to receive them. These results will be precious, powerful, and life-changing. The church will be privileged to direct this work. We'll also be privileged to disengage slowly as the need for the direct influence is replaced with the internal strength of those who are reconciled. One last quick story. I know I'm over time. Apologize, brother. The boy's first full-time weekend at home was Father's Day. Fitting, as his dad was such a key in this whole experience. The boy's parents invited the extended family over for Father's Day cookout, and all was good. Before dinner, while many of the family were hanging around in the kitchen talking, the subject of inspirational quotes came up. The boy's mom pulled a little piece of paper off of her fridge and handed it to his uncle and asked him to read it. He read it out loud. "To the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you may be the world." The boy's mom turned to his uncle with tears in her eyes and said, "Whenever I read this quote, I think of you, because for a long time, you were the world to our son, and we will never forget it." Our final reconciliation lesson. The role of the church in reconciliation of the world will be remembered by the reconciled forever. For the church personally delivered to them the power of God's love through Jesus. The church was there at the beginning of their reconciliation to walk with them, to guide them, and to encourage them. The church helped them face their fears, their failures, and their false beliefs. The church, as a result of their own faithfulness, was worthy of their trust. And the church helped them to become trustworthy themselves. That's my story. Brethren, reconciliation happens one precious life at a time, because each human life is valuable and sacred before God. Faithfulness to the high calling happens one precious life at a time. Each of your lives are sacred before Him because He has commissioned you with the future work of the ministry of reconciliation. Never stop. Never slow down. Never give up. The world waits for your faithfulness. May the Lord add His blessing.